Say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is he good to you?
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Well, the lunar eclipse is supposed to start around 7:30. It'll be a partial. 8:30, the full eclipse starts. 9:11 is when it's at the peak. But we won't be here then, right? What if this was your last evening? Are you ready? Ready or not? Here we go. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. I'd like to read from 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll read the first 12 verses. 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 1 through 12. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So this isn't the first time they've heard this. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come with blood moons. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I'd like to read those last two verses again from the Amplified version of the Bible. Since all of these things are thus in the process of being dissolved, what kind of a person ought each of you to be in the meanwhile in consecrated and holy behavior and devout and godly qualities? While you wait and earnestly long for, expect and hasten the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the flaming heavens will be dissolved and the material elements of the universe will flare and melt with fire. May the Lord add his blessing the reading of the word. We want to title the thought here tonight, His Secret Coming. I'd like to bow our heads. Father, we're thankful for another opportunity to give you praise and honor. And if this was our last night on the earth, we would be at our post of duty. Lord, if I knew you were coming tonight and I was supposed to preach tonight, I'd be preaching tonight. I would want to be doing exactly what you called me to do, and I'd wanted I'd want to do it right up to the last minute, not throw down the hoe before the work is done, but to be found doing what you've called me to do. Father, we're grateful to know that we can put our trust completely in you, to know that our lives are completely in your hands. And that takes away all the worry, all the fear, all the doubts. And we know, Lord, that when you come, we will go with you. We'll be caught up with you to meet you in the air. And we're confident of that tonight, Lord. So we're not living by fear, but we, at the same time, we want to be sincere. We want to be focused. We want to be living the right kind of lives and giving forth the right kind of a testimony, Lord. We want to be living as if you would come at any moment. And we want to be faithful to do what you've called us to do as if you're never coming in our lifetime. We just ask that you would bless your word tonight, Lord, that you would anoint it, that you'd quicken it to our hearts. And Father, give to each one the portion that they have need of, we pray. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. His secret coming. His secret coming. Now, if it's a secret, then how is it that everybody thinks that they've got it figured out? I mean, it's it never ceases to amaze me how things that should be obvious, people get talked out of, you know, that, and it's all fear-based, you know. You better be ready for this certain event, and we're setting a date, and how many times have people done that, you know. I've heard stories about what took place in 1977, where people were actually diving into the baptismals before midnight, getting baptized again, doing all kinds of things, you know, because they thought that, you know, January 1st was going to be the end, and the Lord was going to come. And we want to be sane and sober, and we want to take God at his word. We want to trust him, and we certainly don't want our lives to be ruled by fear. So, since we know, as Peter said, that things are in the process of being dissolved, what kind of a person ought each of us to be in consecrated and holy behavior and devout and godly qualities, to put it in Peter's terms? You know, in Peter's day, the scoffers were already raising up and they were declaring, "Where is his coming?" Recall, they were looking for his coming in Peter's day. They were expecting the Lord to return while they were still here. They weren't expecting 2,000 years to go by. Some were actually denying the resurrection, and some were actually paid to say that the resurrection didn't happen. Some were noticing the passing of some of the church, early church fathers, and they began to declare, "We've been duped." You know, they were saying that they would be here at the coming of the Lord. And look, they're going into the grave. Right. Things are just as they always have been. Right. There's nothing to this thing. And, you know, we've been following a fable. In fact, all things remain as they have since the very beginning of creation, which Peter calls them out on and says, "You guys are willfully leaving out some facts." Right. Scoffers rose up. And a falling away began to take place as the movement predictably produced twins. Every move of God produces twins. So I'd like to turn your attention also for a moment to what Paul said concerning the last days. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul said, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." The day of Christ is at hand. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, that wasn't taking place in Paul's day. This is taking place in our day. Satan has become the god of this evil age. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth, that's the Holy Spirit, will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. So when the Holy Spirit is lifted, that wicked will be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Now, it's amazing. God sent us the truth, but they don't have a love of the truth. And since they don't have a love of the truth, God sends them what it is that they want. He sends them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, or the glorification. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word tonight. So Paul is telling us that there will first be a falling away, and then the man of sin will be revealed, which takes place in the tribulation period. So the last sign that Paul mentions is the falling away. And Jesus tells us, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. Abraham received his last sign, as we looked at last week, before the son was born. And that was God taking on flesh and discerning the thoughts and intents of Sarah's heart. And Sodom received their messengers, and then Sodom was destroyed. So we know from these prophecies and from so many other prophecies for our day that are to be fulfilled at the end of the age, the only thing that we are waiting for is the trump of God and the dead of Christ arising from the graves. That's what's going to take place next. So Peter was at the end of the road. He was at the end of his ministry, and he knew it, and he was measuring his words, and he was trying to remind them of things that he wanted to emphasize that he emphasized throughout his ministry, and wanted to leave the church, wanted them to have this in the forefront of their minds. When he spoke the words in 2 Peter to the church, Peter was doing what he could to try to establish the believer in the coming of the Lord, even though the Lord wasn't going to come for another 2,000 years. And yet he was faithful to establish the church in the coming of the Lord. And we are still, to this hour, to this time, to this very moment, being established in the coming of the Lord by Peter's teachings. So here we are in one of the greatest times of the fulfilling of Bible prophecy that there ever has been. There's more scripture, there's more word being fulfilled in our day than any other day. And we can see that it looks like there has been a long delay in his return, and we've spoken on this before. But we realize that God has actually been in the process of returning since the first son after Calvary was born in the new kingdom and came to maturity. He's been on his way. He's been in the process of coming. But he can't come until the last one comes in. So the scoffers, they've lost patience, and they've declared that since he hasn't come in the time frame that they expected, well, he's not coming at all. There's nothing to what he said. And they began to blaspheme in Peter's day, and they are blaspheming in our day. Here we are at the closing out of the Gentile dispensation, and we find that this is a time that's characterized with people that are very religious, but they only have a form of godliness, and as we were speaking of this morning, they don't have the power that resulted from his resurrection. They don't have the power of the Holy Ghost in their lives. They don't have overcoming power to live this word. They deny the resurrection power, and therefore they will not be in the second resurrection. They will not be in the resurrection. They will come forth in the next resurrection. So many have accepted church as their identification, and they claim to be Christians based on going to church. Are you a Christian? Well, I go to church. That's not what I asked you. They didn't ask you if you'd go to church. I asked you if you're a Christian. And the only way you can be a Christian is to have the life of Christ living in you. So Peter referred to the days of Noah and the preparations that were taking place prior to the destruction of the world by water. And he said, a day like that will appear again, only this time it won't be the world destroyed by water, but it'll be the world destroyed by fire. They were looking at the seeming delay, and they were questioning his coming. It had only been 50 years or so since the Lord Jesus was caught up into glory, and people were already growing weary of waiting, and they were starting to doubt. Now, how long has it been since the book came open? Right? We're about the same amount of time. But Peter pointed out that even in the days of Noah, there was a time of waiting. And we've looked at that before. Actually, there was a 120-year delay from the time that the promise was given till the time it was fulfilled. And that was the long suffering of the Lord. He was not willing that any should perish. And friends, on that day, it'll be shown that he gave every opportunity. 120 years is a long period of time. So I can imagine that as the days on the calendar began to be pulled off, and one day started looking like the prior one, and until the day finally arrived. The day that the flood came, it was just like any other day. There wasn't a lunar eclipse. It wasn't marked by an earthquake or an asteroid crashing into the earth. And so will it be in our day. People will go right on thinking that they're getting saved, and they won't realize that the door to the ark was shut, just as it was shut prior to the flood. So just as the door was shut in the ark, the door to that other dimension is going to be closed to the lost. And the foolish virgin, those that are clean will remain clean. Those that are filthy will remain filthy. And when the dead in Christ come forth, I mean, friends, there's going to be a period of time. We don't know how long it's going to be, but there's a pattern. There's a shadow in the scripture. We saw it in the first resurrection. There was 50 days from the time after the resurrection until Pentecost. And Jesus was spending time with his disciples. And the Old Testament saints had risen, and they were seen and visited with and talked to. And so we know that there's a pattern there. We're not going to pick a time or a number. It doesn't matter. I mean, just you seeing the dead in Christ coming forth, you'll know the move is on, right? So, but when that takes place, if you're not saved, you can't get saved. If you're a foolish virgin and you haven't gotten the oil, you can't get the oil. So when the dead in Christ come forth, it's too late. Right. And there'll be kind of an I told you so message preached on the earth. Right? Just as there was in the days of Noah. The ark closed. The door was shut. It sat there for 8 days. No rain. But you couldn't get into the ark. God shut the door. Noah didn't shut the door. See, it's not that we are going to shut the door. It's not that we're saying, oh, well, sorry, Charlie, you can't get saved. Right? It's not up to us. The door will be shut. It's open right now. Now's the time to come. Now's the time to get that oil. Now's the time to do all that you know to do. But mind my word here tonight, friends. The scripture tells us there won't be cataclysmic events taking place to cover up the raising of the dead. It'll be another day just like the day before. Brother Branham puts it like this. They'll say, you know, I haven't seen so-and-so for a while. You know, I wonder what happened to him. He said there's people that show up missing every day. Right? And it doesn't raise eyebrows or concern. And you know, the world doesn't want us here anyway, so why would they bring it up? When the door shut on the ark, there was no rain. There were no clouds. It was just like the day before. The only sign was that the door was closed. But how many knew? And how many cared? And how many would even notice that the door was closed? You'd actually have to be trying to visit Noah that day. Come to church, I suppose. So this pattern is prophesied to repeat in our day, according to Luke chapter 17. Noah spoke about rain coming, and perhaps he got the attention of some in the beginning. But as time marched on and there was no rain, people began to scoff. And people began to mock Noah and mock Noah's message. And they began to doubt the whole prophecy altogether. And they began to say, things go on as they always have. So Jesus told us that in the days of Sodom, that they continued on just as they always did. Marrying, eating, drinking, business as usual. So in other words, just all the common things in life. Those things aren't wrong. Those things aren't bad. But destruction was coming, and they're carrying on as if destruction isn't coming. Including up to the very day that the fire fell, they were living just like they had the day before. There were no Hollywood movies that portrayed earthquakes that they were watching and 2 minutes to midnight, or you've been left behind, or they were seemingly completely caught by surprise. But they shouldn't have been, because they were warned time and time again, and God gave them every opportunity to be saved. And you're living in a day just like that. So the surprise really to us is that they were surprised. It's like, what part of it didn't you get? Duh. And so I want to ask you this tonight. And I want you to think about it. Why would we think that God would give us more signs today when the last sign has already been given to the church? Right. In fact, it's a super sign. And the church world rejected it. Friends, don't look to Facebook for the word of the Lord. Don't listen to Facebook pulpits, where people who are not called to handle the word are doing so at their own risk. Self-appointed. Don't look outside the message that was sent to you in order to recognize your day. These are people outside of our ranks that are saying, you know, blood moon, this and that and the other. Here's this sign and that sign. And how are they living? How many gods are they worshiping? And you're going to take your cues from them? I don't think so. Think about it, friends. If there, Malachi 4 was sent to turn your heart. Not Malachi 4 and Rabbi Cohen. Or Facebook so-and-so. Everything that was needful to turn your heart was sent to you. And please don't miss the fact that he's here with us now and the rapture cycle's actually on. So I think if there was some other sign, we'd know about it, don't you? We had a great earthquake in California in the early 1900s. And when that earthquake took place, people fled to the churches for a season. Don't look for that to happen in this secret coming of the Lord when he comes to catch away his bride of all the ages. There's not going to be a big scare and everybody's going to flock to church and then the Lord's going to come. Don't look for a sign to be given to the world beyond what has already been given. Jesus said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but the only sign will be given is the sign of the prophet Jonah, which was the last thing to be fulfilled. Jesus going in the grave, death, burial, and resurrection, which was foreshadowed in the prophet Jonah. So they had the greatest sign the world has ever seen was standing right before them. And they said, show us a sign. I mean, how ignorant can you be? And that same one is with us here tonight. People will just continue on buying and selling, just as they did in the days of Sodom. And they won't realize that it's not a day just like any other day, but it's a supernatural day. As we pointed out, there's lots of supernatural things taking place as we speak. And they will miss this great event, and they won't receive any further warnings. And they will say, we thought Elijah was to come first, right? We thought there was supposed to be a rapture. And just as they missed the Elijah ministry when Jesus was here on the earth, so will they miss it in our day. They will miss this great event, and they won't receive any further warnings. In the hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, that's not to scare anybody. That's not the purpose. That's not the intention. We already know that. We should be looking for and hastening the coming of the Lord. We should be looking up, knowing that our redemption draweth, and we should have a peace about it. And we should be doing everything that we can to let other people know. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. We know that that hour is upon us. We're not. When I was in the denominations, I couldn't say that the Lord was coming in my lifetime. I mean, what evidence did I have of that? And I couldn't take anybody else's word for it either, because we didn't understand the prophecies. We didn't even understand the day that we were living in. But, friends, we've got so many prophecies that have been fulfilled and are being fulfilled, and everything's pointing to one thing. And on top of that, his presence is among us. So we know with a certainty that the hour is upon us, and we know that he will get somebody. So what manner of persons ought we to be in our day-to-day actions? That's really the crux of what we want to talk about tonight for the next few minutes. What manner of persons ought we to be? There will be many that will move from this dimension into the next dimension. But we have to be ready when that time comes. So seeing that we know these things, This should be a time for setting aside every weight, every sin that so easily besets you. This should be a time of no longer making excuses. This should be a time of getting sick and tired of being sick and tired. This should be a time of calling upon the name of the Lord. You should be praying for your loved ones. You should be doing all that you can. Lord, if there's 50, if there's 40, if there's 30. And as we've seen before, friends, there are many end times in the Bible. This is our end time. In the days of Noah, they were days that led up to an end time, to the world as they knew it. The world as they knew it came to an end. So the entire time, Noah spoke of that end time, and the process of the fulfillment of that end time prophecy was in effect, even as he was speaking about it. People always, somebody say always. People always want a particular day to point to, and they miss the pattern that's laid out in the scriptures. Did Noah know the day that the flood was going to come? No, not until the day. Not until he was told to get in the ark. And then it was another 8 days. People always want a particular day to point to. They miss the pattern that's in the scripture. And there's a foolish element of pride that comes with, it'll be this day or it'll be that day, and look, we've got it all figured out and numbered out. In the days of the ending of the sojourning in Egypt, and then the going on and fulfilling of the promise concerning the promised land, a process was unfolding. And they were in the process of going into their inheritance for some 80 years or so. In the days of Sodom, wherein Abraham and Sarah received the promise and Sodom was destroyed, it was a process that spanned many years before the promised son came into manifestation. So, take my advice here tonight, friends. We need to shut our ears to teachings that point to singular events that are in fact a series of events that are in a process that culminate in a final event. So the rapture is in process. If you're looking for a spot, a button to push, there is no button to push. Sure, there'll be the change of the body, but that's just the last step. That's the last part of the process. So if you're not part of the process, you won't be able to say on the last day, okay, today the body change is going to come. Okay, now I believe. Well, it's too late. Because you weren't part of the process that led up to that final singular event. So God is working and moving throughout the entire process. And those that are pulled out, they are in a walk with him long before the last events take place. Enoch walked with God and was no more. But that took place a lot later. Enoch walked with God. He walked with God for about 60 years. And then he walked off the earth. So if we are looking for singular events, we will miss what God is doing among us all along. See, that's the danger of it. And that's human nature, right? We want to just look at a certain event and say, well, and that way we can just, you know, okay, well, I'm going to go to, Antarctica and spend a few months and I don't know, whatever it is that you want to do. Go out to the jungles, go visit the Smithsonian. I'm going to do all these things. And then I'm going to get serious on September 5th. You know, in this case, May 15th. Right? Well, I'm going to get real serious on May 15th. It doesn't work that way. It never has worked that way. But if we recognize instead that we are in the process of a rapture, then we will recognize that he is with us, just as he said that he would be. And we are in a present tense walk with him right now. And we're looking for the time when we leave with him and meet him in the air physically. You see, when his spirit is lifted up, you're gone with him. Otherwise, the carnal mind will say, well, nothing's really taking place. All things continue as they always have. When a person makes those kind of statements, what they're saying is, I don't recognize what's happening right now. And what that does is it causes idleness and worldliness and laxness and even a falling away. We are now in the promise of his coming, and right now we need eye salve to see what's taking place. And this is an Enoch walk. But Brother Baker, I don't want to miss that last event. What sign will I have? What warning? You don't need another sign. You don't need another warning. If you are in a holy union with him, when he goes, you go. If you're walking with him, then what do you have to fear? If you're walking with him, how are you going to miss what's coming? If you're walking with him, who cares how long it takes? It's going to take how long it's supposed to take. And it won't be late. It'll be right on time. And there's a purpose to it all. So when it seems like nothing is happening, and this pattern is all the way through the scripture, friends, when it seems like nothing is happening, men begin to criticize the prophecy. They lose that initial excitement and enthusiasm. I can remember, you know, we kind of come in later, it seemed to me anyway, later than some of the earlier ones that came into this light here at the end time. But even when we were coming in the late 80s, people were, you know, they were still spiritualizing this and that. They were looking for, you know, God everywhere. I saw him in the clouds, and I saw this, and I saw that, and he did this, and he did that, and this supernatural thing happened, that supernatural thing. And it was every time people got together, the conversations, there was an excitement, right? And now it's ho-hum to so many, right? Now it's as if they never heard that the Lord was coming or that he's here. So when it seems like nothing is happening, men will begin to criticize the prophecy. They will lose that initial enthusiasm, that initial excitement. And those that came to see what the attraction was, they begin to second guess what they once thought was prophecy. And more begin to interpret the prophecy. Friends, the hardest thing for people to do sometimes is to wait. We have to teach our children that, right? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? But God is long-suffering. He first sends a warning before judgment, but then judgment might not take place for quite a while after. And it actually appears like people are getting away with things. Oh, that's a real danger. You see, God is not at this present. This is a moment of grace. It's a time of grace. It's an opportunity, right? And God is not now giving man the rewards of his labors. So it looks like, excuse me, it looks like to many that sin has no consequences. Whether you live right or wrong, it don't matter. Everything goes on, you know. Still get a raise. I remember one time in junior high school. I won't tell you what it was, but I did something in the classroom that wasn't right. It was myself and another boy. We were kind of cutting up and joking around, and when the teacher was out of the classroom. And the teacher walked back in at the end of our conversation, and we thought that she heard us carrying on, and we were initially afraid that we were going to get in trouble. I mean, she had to have heard us carrying on, cutting up. But then nothing happened. Didn't see any reaction from her. We thought we'd dodged a bullet. And a day later, We both got called into the vice principal's office, and our deeds were laid out before us in great detail, and we got the rewards of our deeds, and then we got it again when we got home. See, I lived in another generation. You didn't go home and say, they whipped me at school. You hoped mom and dad didn't find out you got whipped at school, because then you get whipped at home. No, that's not child abuse. But because of the delay, this is the whole point. Because of the delay, we initially figured that we got away with it. We couldn't imagine how, but we I thought, well, she's old, you know. Maybe hard of hearing or something. No, she heard everything. So the carnal man thinks that the passage of time somehow changes laws. When science is confronted with the numerous holes in the theory of evolution, the answer given is, well, there was lots of time for these things to happen. But time is not a factor for God. So in Peter's day, men who had once walked with Christ, imagine that, in Peter's day, men who had once walked with Christ were walking away. And they were walking in their own lusts. Well, you don't have to imagine that. Same thing's taking place in our day. In our day, the prevailing attitude is the Lord delays his coming. But friends, he's right on time. He's never late. The initial enthusiasm of prior generations has dulled as they've passed off the scene and time marches on. But that has nothing to do with the prophecy. We could look at so many lives in the Bible and see where it looked like there was a delay in the fulfillment of the prophecy in their lives. You know, we're the spiritual seed of Abraham, right? And look how long the prophecy was seemingly delayed before finally being completely fulfilled in the life of Abraham. And then in the life of his offspring. But in the process of time, we find that Abraham's and Sarah's bodies were changed prior to the receiving of the promised son. So that tells us that God has to change something in us prior to bringing forth Christ back to the earth, the Son of God, in this last day. Something has to change in us. And we don't want to get distracted. We should instead focus on the process and what is taking place in order to prepare us to bring Christ back to the earth. You say, well, you know, that sounds, you're kind of talking in circles. What are you getting at? Every age, in the church ages, started out with the Lord speaking to the churches, saying, you know, you did this good, you did that right, and this is wonderful. But nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. And what was against them prevented the rapture of the church. It prevented the coming of the Lord. It prevented the dead in Christ from coming back in this dimension. We have to have the full word, and somebody has to live it. Amen. So we're in the process of fulfilling that. What an honor. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we don't want to get distracted. But we should instead focus on the process and what's taking place in order to prepare things for Christ to come back to the earth. There will be those who abandon the truth after following it for a season. But that's not a sign of the weakness in the word or a weakness in the promise. It's a sign of weakness in the individual. There has to be a culling out at harvest time. Jesus said there would be. He said, gather together the tares first. Bind them. And then the wheat will be gathered together and taken up into the garner. So let me remind you again of the last sign for our day. If this sign has been given, then let's not look for more signs, but let's focus on getting ready for the end of the process. Are you with me? Okay, spiritual amnesia. Brother Bram says, now look, I want to ask you something. What if he does come tonight? Oh, say, well, he isn't coming. I don't know whether he is or not. This is the last sign. Remember, thus saith the Lord. Did you ever hear me say that, but what it was true? You are seeing your last sign. Now, how can we claim to believe the message and be pulling up more signs and emphasizing them? You are seeing your last sign. That's scriptural. You've seen your last sign, Pentecost. Don't get mixed up now with what he promised Israel after the rapture. That ain't you. You're done then, see? Now is your day. Now is your sign. Now is your time. Don't reject it. Don't do it. You better come. You believe me to be God's servant? Remember. Again, Christ is identified the same in all generations. He says, I want to ask you a question. I want you to look at me. Remember, as firmly as the scripture says this, Abraham never saw one more sign until the Son came into existence. Remember, Elohim came down and communed with him. That's the last sign that Abraham saw. There's always a sign. Let me tell you, church, here is your last one. Now, what part of last one don't we get? It's the greatest sign that could have been given. The sign of the Messiah. The appearing of the Son will be pretty soon. In the hour when you think not, it'll be caught away. People go right on preaching, thinking they're getting saved and everything. It'll just be just like it was in the coming of John. All, they go right on, done past the time. It's later than we think. That was 1964. How late is it now? Almost 60 years later. 58, right? Feast of the Trumpets. We read from this a week ago, I think. He says, notice what happened. Immediately, speaking of Sarah, she turned back to a lovely woman. Showing in there, portraying what he's going to do to the royal seed of Abraham to receive the son that's been promised, she turned back to a young. We will have a body change before we meet him in the air. Look, they went down into Gerar, and what happened? Abimelech, the king, he fell in love with her and said, she is fair and beautiful, and was going to marry her. In other words, she'd been changed. She wasn't some old granny anymore. Is that right, old grandma? And all them other pretty girls down there, granny? She's beautiful. She is fair to look upon. She was changed. God changed her body and turned them back. Remember, she couldn't ever have a child, but her body had been changed back. It's a mystery that's to be revealed now in this day by the Son of Man, see, the evening message, see, turn back. And that was the last sign that they seen, that discernment before the change of the body come. And before we can ever receive the Son, what happens? The trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, a new body, and we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, hallelujah, and shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. The secret has been made known. The seals are open. The trumpet sounded for Israel. The two prophets is ready to appear. What is it? The church must get off the scene right now so that they can appear. The two prophets that are going to minister to Israel. He can't deal with the two at the same time. He never did. He doesn't deal with the Gentiles and the Jews at the same time. Oh, brother, watch. Exactly. To call all. To call them out of the denominations and traditions. Now we see the church of Pentecost age is finished. The bride must step out of the way to go up now, so that the two servants of God in Revelations, the two prophets, can appear upon the scene to sound the seventh trumpet to them and make known to them the Christ. So the seventh trumpet to them is the seventh seal to us. The seventh angel messenger said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Not "behold my Methodist, my Baptist, my Pentecostal," but "the Word, the Son of God, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, for no other foundation is there." You see? "How long have we got?" he asks. The Jews are in their homeland. Think about it, friends. The bride is called. Scripturally, everything's just exactly what he promised. We're ready. The hour is here. How much more time? I don't know. Could be any day, any moment. It could be tonight. But not because somebody predicted it. So let's just imagine here in closing. Let's just imagine that this is Noah's day. And the ark door is going to close soon. What would the conversation be like around the ark? What do you think? Well, to those that are not getting in the ark, it'd be just like any other day. Because they don't believe it. They've given up hope. That they maybe, some might have been enthused at the beginning, but then they settled down, realized that they didn't think that there was anything to it because all this time has passed and nothing's happened, as if time has anything to do with it. How about in Abraham's day? Look, friends, there had to be a separation between Lot and Abraham's group in order for Elohim to come down in flesh and speak to Abraham prior to Abraham and Sarah's body change. There had to be a separation. There had to be a falling away. Right? God's word calls for a total separation from unbelief. We don't like it. We're not pushing anybody away. We want as many to come as can come. But people are falling away. And it kills you. And you hold out for them. But they're choosing to do the separation. Not you. Right? Meanwhile, you're keeping your eye on the goal. You're pressing forward. And you're not letting that distract you. Because you believe it. What happens to other people has nothing to do with you. What happens with other people has nothing to do with the promise that God gave to you. And you taking him at his word. Somebody's going to take him at his word, friends. So where are we at tonight? Is this our last night on earth? I doubt it. But I want to be ready if it is. Right? Could be. Could be our last. That'd be all right, wouldn't it? Yeah. How many's ready to go home? Yeah. I mean, really, are we doing what we know to do? Would we be ashamed if he was to come this evening? I don't mean that you're out living in sin, but, you know, have we left things undone? Have we taken our eye off the goal? Have we wasted some time? I'm sure we've wasted some. Well, I won't say that to you. I know I've wasted some, right? I know that I've spent most of my Christian life trying to do everything for the kingdom. Even to the... I was talking with my son about this last night, you know, how important it is to take a break now and then, and everybody's better off if you do. But we rarely did that because there's too much to do. And didn't want to waste time and wanted to keep her eye on the goal and so on and so forth. She'd get a little older, you get a little more wisdom, a little more gray hair, I suppose, or no hair, or however you want to look at it. But I'm not sorry. I'm not looking back with regret. Oh, I wished I wouldn't have lived for the Lord all that time, you know. I wished I wouldn't have preached, and I wish I went to Tahiti instead, you know. No, I don't regret it at all, right? So if the Lord were to come tonight, I wouldn't be saying, oh, man, I would have done all these things different if I'd have known that he was coming. Live like he's coming. Just always live like he's coming. Because he is. And he will come at a time when people don't expect it. And it's a good thing. Because human beings are human beings. And we're still human. Let's stand. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I still remember. I mean, it wasn't just one time. It was a few times. I remember, see, we were living in Lompoc, California, going to First Southern Baptist Church. Is there a Second Southern Baptist Church? If there is, I never heard of it. Why is it always First? Yeah, anyway, I don't know what the point is. It's like, we're the first, so there is no church beside us, or I don't know. But I remember we went down as a church, I think as families in our own vehicles, to a bigger Baptist church in Ventura, which was, I don't know, what was that, like 90 miles from Lompoc, I think, south of Santa Barbara. And we watched this movie, and was it Left Behind or 2 Minutes to Midnight or what? You know, I don't even remember. All I know is it scared me to death, right? And we went to church, you know, twice on Sunday. We went to the Wednesday night services. I went out with my dad on, you know, when they go out witnessing, and we were involved in all the activities and doing what we thought we were supposed to do. But in the film, you know, it starts out with the alarm clock going off. Dun, 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 dun. And this lady wakes up in the bed. And airplanes are falling out of the sky. You know, things are blowing up in the streets. Trains are smashing. And, right? And the whole theme of it is you woke up and it's, you know, a Christian was flying that plane, and he got raptured, and so the plane went down, and everybody died, you know. And you've been left behind, right? Scared me to death. Did it change my life? No. There's no power in being scared to death, right? But I was so worried that that was going to happen, and I'd be left behind. So for a week, you know, you try to watch what you said and didn't pull your sister's hair or whatever, you know, for about a week. And that was a common thing, right? Have these scare you to death kind of films and these revival meetings where they scare you down to the altar and you go down and practically give your heart to the Lord over again. You know, because there's no keeping power in just a dead letter, right? So you never really knew where you stood. And it was easy to scare us, right? If you were even the least bit spiritual, if you're even the least bit sensitive, you knew you had a reason to worry. Right? Because you couldn't live that life. I don't mean that you're out murdering, and I'm talking about the description of what a Christian life looked like in the book of Acts, in the New Testament. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't live that life. Try it. Try it. Yeah, you need to be convinced that you can't do it. Because as long as you think you can do it, you'll try and do it. And then you'll look at everybody else. That's why legalism is such a trap. Because if you think you're doing okay, you'll look at other people and you'll put them down saying they're not. But you don't realize you're in a race and this person in your mind is behind you. But you don't realize that the winners have already crossed the finish line and you're not even in the picture. Because you're just comparing yourselves. Scripture says it's not wise to compare yourselves among yourselves. We compare ourselves with the Word. And that's what I'm trying to... That's the whole point. I could look in the Word and realize I don't match this. I want to, but I don't match it. So then there's date setting and there's, you know, try to be spiritual. And because you know this and somebody else doesn't know it, you've got some kind of an edge, so you'll be ready. That'll be the week that you're not pulling your sister's hair, you know, because you know, oh, not today, right? The greatest rest that there is in this life is to just let go and let God. Amen. Commit yourself into His hands. Believe Him, trust Him, and then just take every day. Every day's a new day. And live for Him every day. And don't let the sun go down without making sure that all is well. Well, I had such a horrible night. Well, how was your day? Right? If your day ends well, your night will probably go a little better, don't you think? Yeah. Absolutely. We want to be sane. We want to be stable. We want to be faithful. We want to be patient. We want to recognize God is not long-suffering concerning His promises. And we're not getting away with anything. God is watching everything and is keeping track, right? And people are going to be accountable for what they're doing. So as Paul said, you know, don't use your liberty. All things are legal, but not all things are expedient. Don't use this liberty as a cloak. Use it as an opportunity to go on with God. And just be a good, solid, sane, everyday Christian. Amen? Amen? You're not going to be scared into heaven. Now, we will admit that the fear of hell is a good start. But then it's love that takes you the rest of the way. And you realize you've been spared from that. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You're not missing anything, okay? You don't need to look out for any other signs. You're not missing anything. Rest in that tonight. Amen. Everything that you have need of has been provided. Just take it and walk in it. Thank God. Trust God. Believe God. It'll work out. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You so much for a message, Lord, that brings such comfort, it brings such peace. It's not we don't say this in that it means that we're going to slouch or live loose. On the contrary, we realize that the opportunity that's been extended, and then we also realize the power that is in the body this evening through the Holy Ghost. A power to live above the things of this life, to live above the things of this world. A way of escape has been provided, that we escape the things that are in this world through lust. We're being caught up as we speak. We know that Enoch was in a walk with You, and that was a process. And there was just one final day in that process where You said, you know, Enoch, you've been walking with Me all this time, day in and day out. And I don't see a reason for you to go home tonight. Son, why don't you just keep on walking and come up a little higher? We know that that's our promise, Lord. We know that there's an appointed time. And we know that we're not going to miss that if we're walking with you. There's just no way we can miss it. If we've surrendered to you, if we're trusting in you, if we put all of our faith and confidence in you, how could we miss it? You're not trying to keep something from us. It's actually a good thing that you're not telling us the exact moment. That's the tender hand of Jehovah to us. But Lord, we trust you. Our confidence is in you. I pray, Lord, that the peace that passes all understanding would be in every heart here tonight, Lord. I pray that there not be anyone that's struggling and worrying and fretting. Lord, if they are they just humbly bow before you, take your yoke upon them, and learn of you, learn your ways to see that you're meek and that you're humble, that you're not the loud mouth, but you're the same voice, but you're a lot of times this still small voice, but you're the one that's leading us and guiding us each step of the way. Lord, we can have that confidence tonight that the one that started this work will finish it. And Lord, that you'll not lose a single one. So Lord, if we've truly surrendered ourselves to you and given ourselves to you, may we just walk with you. And Lord, just keep our lives simple. Just watch the little things. And we've been promised that we're guaranteed that you will make sure we catch the big things. In fact, Lord, it's not about my human ability at all. And the proof of that is that if I go in the grave, there's something in me that's, when you call, that's going to bring me up out of the grave. And that's not my humanness. So, Lord, whether I go into the ground or whether I'm alive and remain, there's something that you've placed in us that's going to, you're going to call and we're going to respond. And as your word said, nobody can come except you first draw us. And Lord, we're responding to that tonight. We're so thankful, Lord, that we can have this peace tonight, that we can have this rest. And I pray, Lord, that there not be a person under the sound of our voice that is absent from that rest, Lord, that doesn't have it. May each and every one of us seek, because we're promised that we will find. Knock, and it shall be opened. Ask, and it shall be given. I ask that your blessings be upon each and every one. And Lord, may we just be a testimony and a light to others as we just continue to persevere. We just continue to take you at your word. We're not up and down and in and out and on and off and running from pillar to post, but we're just stable, sane, everyday sons and daughters of God, believers, end time believers. Grant it tonight, Lord. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Hallelujah. You love him? Blessed be the name of the Lord. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, and surrounded by your glory. For in your that's where I always want to be.
I just want to be, Lord, I just want to be with you. Oh, my God. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. Take me. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. Lord, I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling. I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory. For in your presence, that's where I am. I just want to be.